as they so they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, September 30th, 2023, the end of September, right here in just a beautiful fall of 2023, and we're glad to be here, and we've got a couple men online. Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And I don't know if anybody else came on. Guess not. Well, that's all right. But we're glad to be here, and we say, Remnant, good morning to you. Just getting a good sunrise here in Wyoming, and it's looks like a beautiful day. Not a cloud in the sky, and what a beautiful morning. And well, Brother Tim, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Yeah. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne this morning. Lord, once again, we're grateful to a Heavenly Father who looks after us each week, each day, each hour. Lord, we know that we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we crave to be. Lord, we pray that you would be our shepherd, and Lord, that you would guide and direct, keep us and protect us, oh Lord. There'd be monsters here. Lord, we just pray that you would watch over your people, watch over this ministry, Lord, that it be useful to you, Lord, that it would be desirable to continue and to set forth your precepts and your ways. Lord, we just pray that you would put words in our mouth this morning, and, oh Lord, that you would guide, direct us, protect our families, prosper the work of our hands, and remember your people in the midst of the adversity as your judgment goes on, Lord, and that you would continue to help us to learn from it and to understand your ways, so, Lord, we might honor you. I pray that you would just, Lord, it's a mess out here. We come to you, we say, Father, it needs fixed, and we know it's beyond us, but we do know who it's not beyond. We thank you for it, O Lord. We ask all these things. We thank you for all the many, many blessings, both known and unknown, that we have. Lord, there are so many. We just thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, current events, yeah, who knows? Lots going on. One of the longest-running senators, Dianne Feinstein, passed away this week out in California. And haven't seen a whole lot on that. Haven't seen just a whole lot on the news. It sure isn't good news when you go and try to see what's going on. But that's just how it is, I guess. I did see, thought I'd kind of start out with this, that, you know, the gun control issue just continues on. We've talked about that. More and more people, I think, are seeing it for what it is, that it is a means to disarm America. They talk about, you know, to get rid of the gun violence. We talked about how we brought up before how earlier in the year you had this cardinal out in New Jersey writes a letter asking Americans to voluntarily give up their Second Amendment so that we can put an end to the gun violence. You know, as if thinking that if peaceful people give up their firearms, that's going to help. And it's just a communist mantra. And then here just early in the month had the the New Mexico governor saying the same thing. I'm calling a 30-day moratorium on the Second Amendment, and I don't want nobody can carry guns concealed or open carry in the state or in Albuquerque, blah, blah, blah. And next day, 5,000 people show up carrying firearms, and nobody would support her. The district attorney, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, they were all saying, hey, she's overstepped her bounds. They were recognizing that. And then, so now this new Biden administration has a new gun violence prevention office. Like that's going to make a difference. And the person that he appoints to it is Feldman. I'm looking here. I printed this out. I didn't get a chance to read all of it. Yeah, so it's he appoints Stephanie Feldman to head up this gun violence prevention office, and she is just anti-NRA, anti-Trump, says here it is in 2019, vowing to defeat the NRA, she says. She will defeat the NRA, defeat President Trump, and defeat gun manufacturers. And so, of course, again, it's not to prevent gun violence, which has caused, it's a violence problem in this nation for sure, but it's a morality issue that causes it. But the enemy doesn't stop. They, you know, it's from the top down to take the firearms away from Americans. And so, anyway, it's just another, salvo, another firing of missiles or attacks at the Second Amendment and the right for people to defend themselves, and that's what they're wanting to take away. Thoughts, comments?
Well, it's insanity. I think that one of the Colter ones, John, was called the peacekeeper. You know, when everybody's got a gun or hip, it straightens everybody out. You know, and only the bad ones use it wrong. It's just insanity. You know, but you know, I was thinking about it as you talked, you know, a year or so ago, I read this, and I know I've read it many times before, but it just hit me like a club. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. These people are God's servants to wake us up. That's all there is to it. It's just reverse thinking, and if you can't see it, you deserve it. That's all I can say.
The way that they... the way they mix the word violence with that all the time, gun violence,
right.
Gun violence. You know, they love to throw that word out there. And in Genesis, you know, violence is one of those words that, in Genesis 6:11 says, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know, I mean, so... And in Exodus 1:13, the Egyptians used violence to compel the sons of Israel to labor. I'm just kind of looking through some different, you know, context here. But it's interesting that when you think about it, violence has been around since the garden. I mean, one of the first acts that happened after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden was Cain and Abel. You know, Cain rose up with violence off the blue Abel.
Right.
So when we see those kind of things, it doesn't matter whether it's a rock, a hammer, a baseball bat, a gun, an automobile, your hands, a shovel, or whatever. It's not that item that's the problem. It's the violence that goes along with it. And, why don't they put a moratorium on violence? I mean, but it's so obviously there's something more there than meets the just what meets the eye and the ear as far as what they're trying to get rid of. Anybody who understands it, and it's not really all that complex, but the bleeding heart liberals think that they can legislate morality and that by taking the tools away from it'd be very much like taking the silverware off the table in front of a starving man and setting a plate of food in front of him, knowing that and thinking, not knowing, but thinking that he couldn't eat. it's going to happen. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And Paul, like you mentioned, that they are his servants, and these things that they do, the more that they, the more gun control they push, that they put out, I think the more it awakens more and more people. When more and more people are seeing that they're saying the exact same thing. Oh, it's gun violence, gun violence, gun violence is all you hear. Well, it's just violence. You know, if you put a, it's not the gun's fault. It's the morality issue. It's the lack of morals. It's the lawlessness in the land that is allowed. But, you know, they can't... it's like I saw somebody sent me a note and it said, you know why they call these, they're wanting to call these new places smart cities, right? Because the term concentration camp is, you know, wouldn't be accepted that well. and I think that's how it is with this. You know, they can't say, hey, we want to bring communism in and destroy your way of life. And so, you know, they hide it behind, we have to get rid of this gun violence. You have you look at the states that have open carry, that have high instances of concealed carry and things like that, and there is less gun violence. Less violence overall there. You have to dig to get those statistics because, they don't... The new Gun Violence Prevention Office is not one that's going to put that out because it goes against their narrative.
Well, that woman that got in place, she's violent as can be. She don't like the NRA. She don't like Trump. Her heart is bitter. I mean, she's trying to tear everything down that's right. So, yeah, who's got the violence here? they're violent. If you turn them loose, you know, they're very extremely violent.
Yes.
But like you said, I'm sure that hungry guy could just eat without a fork or something. He was that bad off, so... Yeah, he's going to get the job done in necessity.
Exactly. I think that, and I think also we run into this situation where with these people that they don't understand the, they breed this, you know, we're seeing this bred into this upcoming generation. It's been, what's different from, say, the 1900s or, you know, the time Tocqueville wrote his book or whatever to now. And the answer is he wrote it. When it ceases to be Christian, it'll cease to be good.
Yes.
And the opposite of good is evil. Evil is violence. There's only there's only a couple of ways you can get anybody to do anything. I mean, you either convince them or you coerce them.
Right.
There's only two choices. So, Jonah was supposed to go talk to Nineveh. God requested it and everything, and Jonah was not willing, so he couldn't convince him, so he coerced him.
You know? That's so right.
It was like, you know, and it's that way. It doesn't matter what the tool was. In that particular case, the tool was a large fish or, you know, whatever creature that sea creature was. God can talk to you in a still small voice, but he's got a big, loud voice, too.
Yes. Yes, I like how you put that.
You're going to listen.
Amen.
Well, yeah, we're getting put in a position where we have to turn to God. Everybody I talk to, you know, nothing. Yeah, they got no, you know, religious people. Well, there's no hope. You know, there's no hope. It's the gospel. You know, he said, well, they'll never change. I said, oh, yes, they will. I said, God, make sure they change or they're going to be gone. The gospel is the good news. And I have to remind myself of this continuously. It is the gospel. It is the good news. We know who wins. The wicked are always removed. You know, this rapture, you know, that's a bunch of crap, too, trying to get us out of here so we don't do nothing. And I was raised in the predestination mentality. And both of those castrate the people from doing anything. You know, we're responsible. All authority has been given to the church. And the church is the people that are God-fearing. It ain't somewhere you go. You know, I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and you know, we went to the same church at one time and stuff like that, and he's seen the fallacy of it too. He said, well, I think it is important to go to church. Well, I said, yeah, if you got someplace to go, that's really, it's commissioned, you know. But then we talked about baptism. Well, he says, I still believe in it. I says, Don, you just went against God yourself. You know, the book says that you can't just justify in your own brain, and that was the end of it. I don't know where it went, but yeah, it's just the traditions of man that they just can't let go of. But he was coming under conviction. Well, I haven't been baptized, you know, when he said that. So that's what he said. But it's just amazing how the mind goes back to their old ways and justifies it. I was reading Proverbs. Everything a man's eyes, is he can justify, you know. But in God's eyes, you can't.
Right.
So, you know, and the thing of it is, I guess when I was young, I was doing what was right in my own eyes. I had it all figured out like that. But when you come under the conviction and thing, then we do what God says at the end of the matter. I mean, it takes a little pressure off you, really, that you don't have to think so hard. God said, it is written. And that's the thing. We read that Bible. It is written at the end of the matter. Just your brain. You know?
Right.
But we always think that we have
to know. Yeah, we have an internal, well, you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the church. Christ is the church. And yes, gathering with, I think a lot of people mistake the gathering of other believers with that. That's the church, you know, it's this physical building, physical manifestation of, and the manifestation of is the building filled believers that are, you know, in Christ, because Christ is the church. Wherever they go, wherever two or three are gathered together, in that case, there I am also. Well, if he's there, the church is there. I mean, it's really that simple. You know, you can meet him, and that's not popular because it's not financially attractive to these quote unquote churches out there. You know, they want to. They've got a business model they have to maintain. They've got to pay the electric bill and pay for the church building and all that, which means you've got to get those believers in there to do all that. Is it a bad thing to have a church where you get together? No, absolutely not. But if Christ isn't in the middle of it, and if Ichabod's written over the door, then you don't have that power or that authority. It's just another business model or another corporation, which is what we see with the 401c3 thing. And it's a slippery slope, you know. I mean, I think we see that all the time.
Well, these churches have budgets, so that stifles your thinking right there. You got a budget, you know, you worry more about the budget than reacting to the needs of the people. You know, the Amish have it right, that you carry the money in your own pocket and you step forward when it's needed. You know, you don't need a budget, you know. If they have a need, they should say it, and then the money should just come. I mean, but these budgets that they have, they get more important than the Word of God, and it destroys your flexibility to react to a situation. Everybody's got a budget. Their county has a budget. They don't use that salt, they don't get it next year. How ridiculous is that? But the whole system has got people from thinking for themselves. You know, I was talking to that Don, too. I was talking about, you know, we went to the same church, and he said, well, I said, Don, I left that church on Timothy. I forget exactly where it is, but he says, having a form of godliness, demanding the power of Jesus Christ from such withdraw thyself. That's the verse I left that church on. Because they were so much into their budget and all their rules and regulations, they weren't flexible, and they didn't really believe God. You know, even I know a guy that went to the same denomination once, and his wife was bad. He went there wanting them to pray over. He said, "Oh, we don't do that." Well, he left, but he says the Bible says it says so. He left that church. I mean, just like that. So, but that stifles your thinking when you got all this rigid things. You know. The bottom line to wealth, in my opinion, is tithing. God blesses you. And that tells you where your priorities are. You know, when you had the difficulties in the church we were in, I was ready to leave myself. But the biggest thing I said, where am I going to tithe, you know? It's important that you tithe, even if you don't have anything. You know, that widow's mite was more than the excesses that the rich people gave. You know, God looks at the heart. And when you're in a tight spot, you find out what kind of heart you got.
Amen. Well, and I think we see a lot of times, you know, if there's not some place that you can, that it can be administrated that way, where you can go into the maybe a physical location like that and do that. Does God put people in your path who have needs, who have issues, who have things that you need help with? That's you know, that all counts in that way. And I think the storehouse is you know, we're living in kind of strange times. You know, I mean, as far as a lot of this goes, I don't know if it's always been that way, because I haven't lived forever, but so all I have for a window to look through is to the past. It's what the Bible says. And when you start reading, and I'm getting old enough now that I see how they're changing times in the past. Anyways, they write lies, and I was just talking to someone the other day about some things, and I said, no, I was in that. I was there, and it wasn't that way. And well, that's what they say. This is, you know, this is how it was. I'm like, it was not that way. So, one of the ones that really got me was, we were talking about the bank collapse back in, you know, in the 30s or 1913, and back in there, and it was like, and this kid actually had the gall to say, well, it was a good thing, it's necessary, they did him a favor, you know, to, and it was like, was it of God? Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. You know, God was trying to teach something there. Yeah, but the point was, wow, you know, they totally warped that and twisted that to, well, those people weren't evil. They were doing them a favor, you know, or what they did wasn't wrong. And it's like, you've got to be really careful with this revisionist history, and it's everywhere out
there. It is. You know, I mean, it is. It's what's taught. It is. You know, just like the evil European, the evil white man, is the cause of all the problems in the world. And there is some truth in that, but it's because of our sin, because we've turned from our God and not from just the settling of the nations and things like that. But yeah, that revisionist history is the truth is not being taught anymore, not at all, in the schools. But you know, the truth's not being taught in the churches either. It's just a losing proposition all the way around.
Well, and you really do feel sometimes when you're out there trying to explain some of that to people occasionally, you feel like you're that lone voice crying in the wilderness. I mean, it's easy to get that pity party going for you, you know, that, well, gee, Lord, I'm trying. They're not listening, and it's like it's not about that. It's about whether you're going to stand up and tell it the way it is.
Right.
So that's the benefit. That's the proper viewpoint on that. Are you going to do the right thing? I mean, and what they do with it, that's between them and God. But it doesn't change the fact that you have a responsibility. So we should be encouraged by that, you know. So. It is occasionally a little bit rough on everybody when you feel like you're trying to drain the swamp and the alligators are everywhere, but still, that's your job.
So. That's right.
Get after it.
Amen.
Well, there's only two things that the civil government is commissioned to do, and that's serve, reward righteousness and punish evil. I mean, Social Security and all the stuff, all these programs that we have just destroyed God's word. You know, when I got fed up with the church, I wouldn't put money in the collection plate. That was pretty hard for me to find anybody to help. There was one lady, her husband left her, and she was beside herself, and I would send her my money orders and stuff. She never knew where it come from, but I'm just telling you, there was hardly anybody that I needed to help financially because they already got on welfare or whatever. And that's a false god, that whole thing. That's not commissioned by God. We are supposed to take care of our own. And that's just the way it is, you know. But these churches are running up their neck. If you go to a church and your gifts are tax deductible, and they're telling you Jews are God's chosen people, you're in a whorehouse. And I mean by that, in the Revelation, they attach themselves to the whore of Babylon. And that 501c3 status dictates that church, and it's got them by the earlobe and tells them what to say and do. And I mean, it's just, it's destroyed it. Pastor Peters didn't have no budget. He, you know, I know he wrote checks. He didn't know where the money comes from. It always came. You talk about a man lived by faith. He was a good example to me. So, the rigid budget mentality of the churches today is just about castrated, where it's worthless. It is worthless for the most part. But you never know. Every place I went had a couple of good people, but most of them were just there for the buggy ride.
Yeah, it's just what they do. You know, this is what mom did or what dad did or this is what I think we ought to do in going there. And so many times they're just not getting they're not getting the truth. They're not getting the life advice that they need. There's two or three scriptures that are brought up, and that's it. And then in this world that we live in, this society, it everybody is kept so busy. And I know it's a choice, but what the children are doing and what the family's doing and golfing and swimming and there is so little time, thinking about reading the Bible and studying the Bible and doing that. Man, nobody has time for that. And it's, that's really what matters. That being in that right relationship with our Creator. And that is just so far away from people's minds, it seems like. I've mentioned on the radio we put prayer requests out. We've got a brother that's dying. He's at the end of his life. It sure seems that way anyway. He's down in the hospital. He's a believer. Our brother Bruce, he's down in the hospital in Denver, and talking to him is enlarged heart. Kidneys are failing. He's just, short of a miracle. It sure seems that way that he's going to die. But talking to him, he is thankful. He has had a rough life, but he's right with God. He's done what he's needed to do, and he's been given, you know, time to speak with his sons and their family and see his grandchildren and you know, take care of things, end of life things. And I've been talking to him this last week, and you know, it sure seems like he's as ready as anybody can be. You know, he was not what you would call, at least in the last, you know, 10 or say 15 years that I've known him, you know, wealthy or successful according to the world's standards. But he's at peace right now. He is a Bible student. He understands. He's done what he needed to do. He has repented and been baptized and done his best to live a Christian life. The, you know, 15 years I've known him, and what a blessing to be at peace when facing, you know, the end of life and end of life choices. He's always gotten what's been important, what's important, and it seems like that the majority of people out there don't. I don't know if that makes sense, but
that's sometimes what it takes to wake you up, you know, and get in a position like that where you're totally helpless, and we are, whether we're in that position or not. And if you don't realize it, then he might have to put you there to get you to realize it. You know, that's for that blessed are my afflictions. So that's the truth. When I got a hold of that, that's the truth. Blessed are my afflictions. My afflictions are for my correction, as I see it. And it works just about every time when you get in an affliction. Okay, God, what are you trying to teach me now? And it just changed my whole life for the better. Rely not in your own understanding is another thing. We don't understand at all. We all get something put on our plate that we deal with day in, day out with other people and stuff like that. But everybody's plate ain't the same. So,
Tim, I like how you put it.
It kind of reminds me of one of the older men that worked with me a lot when I was younger. He used to say the world is consumed with eye trouble. He said the Bible talks about eyes to see, and you know, your eyes are blinded. And he said, but there's two kinds of eyes, and he said one affects the other. And he said, you know, one is me, I, and the other one is your eye that you see through. And he said they're sometimes interchangeable, biblically speaking. He said the problem is what causes blindness and what causes the inability to see things for what they are or correctly is you, the I that is you. I can do this. I can take care of that. I had this. I had that. I'm going to do this. And he said the whole world's full of eye trouble. He said they don't know which one is which, and they need to get them straightened up. You know, and when you look at it, it's very true. We have a lot of people. You can't do anything in your own power. You know, people say, well, what can one person do? And one person, a Roman numeral for one is an eye. You can't do anything. But with God, when you place yourself in God's hands and you see him for what he is, you become a weapon, or he can use you for things that you can't even imagine. But it's all about which eyes you're using and how you're using them, you know. So we have some eye trouble going on, and you know, needs to get corrected.
Yeah, amen. Or as you put it earlier, Tim, God can he can sure use his big voice, right? Sometimes it's those. It's that small, still voice that, you know, that he gives. And just like I liked your example, you know, with Jonah, he gave it in the small, still voice first. And if that accomplishes what he wants accomplished, well, that's enough. And if not, then he's got a big voice to come back with that he sure can. And and it's like that. Sometimes I think, just like you're talking about with the eyes, he puts things out there for you to see. And if you don't see it, you know, sometimes he does it again. And I think that's what is happening with all this gun control stuff, is that you know, God is allowing it to go through for people to so people will see, you know, what really is behind it. They're saying the same thing. If you can see what's happened in the past, it's what the communists do. They come in, they disarm, they promise peace, and they disarm, and then they got you. And then it's not peaceful at all. And if people would see that, well, that goes a long way to being able to you know, prevent it, to do things. Then the crying out comes. But it's like there. What is it there in the? Is it to the Church of Laodicea? It's like, you know, you think you're good, you think you're fat and happy and all this, but you're poor and miserable and wretched and blind. You just don't see it. And I that makes perfect sense, Tim. Yeah, the you know, the people, what they see, they think is great. Hey, if they got that, you know, big house and the immaculate lawn, and they these things that they see are not not the things that are important, not the things that really matter. And then they don't see the things that do.
Yeah, I think Micah 7 is really good. It sums it up, you know, where it talks about it would seem that the godly persons, you know, perish from the land, and that all of them lie in wait for bloodshed, hunt with a net, which could be the internet, maybe, among other things. But verse 3 says, as for evil, both hands do it well. The leader asks for a bribe, also the judge. And the great one speaks the capricious desire of his soul. So they plot it together. The best of them, the people say, who's them? Who are they? Well, my Bible used it too. The best of them is like a thorn bush, the most upright like a thorn hedge. It says, the day when you post your watchman, your punishment is coming, then their confusion will occur. And it's when we begin to cry out, God's using us to, you know, when we all we've got to do is just do our job and say, look, here it is, see it, use your eyes and look, and their confusion is occurring. And I think we see that now. They can't, we got a pseudo president up there who's, you know, can't even talk a straight line, talk about confusion. We've got all these people up there that are just, I'm searching for words, that are evil, and they have their hands out for a bribe all the time. But both hands do the evil well. It goes in, it goes out, it's evil on both sides, and everything that they plot is against God and against his people. And you can just bet that if they say it's up, it's down, and if they say they want to make this better, they're going to make it worse. And if you know, you need to see that. I mean, so, and understand that your God is for you, and that these things are coming to pass so that he's waking up those people that can be and will be woke up. It may or may not be about those people that are doing the evil, but I'll guarantee you, it definitely is about those who can wake up and turn so they don't burn.
Amen. Amen. Boy, the symbolism in that verse in Micah, oh my gosh, you know, the best of them is the thorn bush. When you read that, the thought occurred to me, and you don't get good fruit from a thorn bush, do you? And so the best of them can't produce good fruit. the very best, because all what do? They destroy. Oh, they talk about building back better, but they don't build, they destroy. And building back better is just another, it's their term for destroying what vestiges of Christian America are left. Because they don't produce fruit. They don't produce, they destroy. And just like this, oh, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention? Yeah, that's because when they take your gun away, then you'll see some violence. Then you'll see violence like you've never seen before. And so it's not gun violence prevention. It's to provide for them being able to do all the gun violence they want. And yeah, this Build Back Better, folks, you need to have eyes to see. That is destroy, destroy, destroy is what that means. For those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. And more are, you know, more are. We're working on Newsletter Volume 6, printing it. Should get that, good Lord willing, should get that in the mail this next week and get that mailed out, and then we'll get the online part done. But, you know, in it, we kind of mentioned that, you know, in Isaiah 43, I think it's 43:19, God says, I'm doing something new. And he says, you know, will you not see it? And I think we are seeing new things happening. You know, this, we've talked about it before, this Oliver Anthony guy, this that was just a nobody as far as, you know, any type of popularity or a musical performer. And all of a sudden, you know, he's got this song that's hitting to number one. And then when you go in and look into it a little bit, you find out that, well, you know, he was just a drunk and a fornicator and all this till he turned his life over to God. Just, you know, several months previous to this song coming out. And, it shows a change. And he gives that testimony. And you know, when he's playing at country fairs and rodeo grounds and stuff, he's reading from the Word. And so you've got people that come to hear a song about rich men north of Richmond, and they're hearing the Word of God being spoken. And that's happened on blogs and podcasts and things like that, where, you know, these big podcasts, you know, with millions of followers doing live interviews. And before you know it, there again, Proverbs is being taught or scriptures. And then the interviewers, the hosts, are agreeing with it. Yeah, that does make sense, they're saying. Yeah, that you know, that would be better for America, wouldn't it? And so you got a million followers that are hearing that aren't really, you know, they didn't get up and go to Sunday school to hear that, but they're hearing it anyway. And that's happening in NFL live interviews. They were interviewing this, I think, a guy from the New Orleans Saints, and asking him about yards and ran and all this stuff and how they won the game. And he's like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And saying this country needs the gospel in the schools and in the courtrooms and in the communities. And anyway, it's just, you know, the Word of God is going out and its seeds being planted. I firmly believe that. And it's... it's time for that. Again, it's for those that have eyes to see, for those that will hear. I think it is. I think it's seeds planted. I think that there's people that'll hear that. Oliver Anthony, who is not a preacher, but when he mentions something, you know, from the scriptures, that'll be a seed planted. And there'll be some that'll say, you know what, seems like I heard that somewhere before, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 3 months ago, whatever it is. And maybe they'll go back and look in that Bible. And you know, be drawn to that truth. Not all.
You do need it. You do need a teacher, though, because you can look in that Bible and tell, you know, somebody points it out to you, you just don't see it. You know, that's what Pastor Peter did for me. I knew that Bible, but I didn't understand it. And he starts putting it into pieces, and this is the Bible, and you start from Genesis to the end, and it's all one story once you get
that's right.
know how to put it together. But it seems like somebody has to show you that or tell you that.
That's right. And I think once people start looking, I think God provides that. I know he sure did in my life. My wife and I were looking for what we thought, you know, a church home and a school and all that. We were looking for that. And when you seek, you'll find. And see, then Paul, I think that's where the remnant comes in. That have a little bit of understanding. Oh, not an army that have been through seminaries and everything else, but God's people that are the truth junkies that Pastor called us. That want the truth, that seek the truth, and if you seek it, you'll find it. But that have sought it, that you know, they can help answer questions. That can do that very thing. You know, when somebody asks, well, you know, man, did you hear this this guy? And man, he was reading from the Bible stuff, and then that's where I think our job is coming in now. To be able to point them to that, to be able to tell them, just like you just did, Paul, hey, yeah, and would that Bible start in Genesis and understand that it's one story, old and new, and it flows through, and it's one story, and that's why it resonated with you. And it's a start. It is, I think, again, I think that there are seeds being planted in places that have not been planted before. The thought occurs to me, it's like old Johnny Appleseed heading out, and he's planting some seeds in places that haven't been planted before. And I think that that's what's happening. And it's not an end, but it's another opportunity for people to hear the word, for people to seek the word, to seek truth, to have their eyes opened.
I remember I was at this show I used to go to with the fertilizer I sell, and this guy from Indiana used to come there, and I used to talk to him. You know, he knew he used the Bible was really important to him. And anyway, I talked to him many times, and one time I said, did you ever see the two creations? And a light just went on that guy. He just went off. That's it. I've been looking at it for my whole life. I understand it. I know where it fits. You know, he didn't say it that way, but it was just like it lit it up to that guy. And it made all the sense in the world to him.
Yep.
You know? But most people that, oh, I don't make no difference. Well, it sure does.
Right. Right. Yeah. It absolutely does. Now, it goes against what's taught in those seminaries, but it makes perfect sense. It's truth. Tim? I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother.
No, that's okay. We talk about this whole thing, basically, and it goes back to the Garden of Eden, and we know that agricultural base or that was what Adam was created for. And when we look at that, we understand that, you know, everybody who comes from a farm background knows you've got to prepare your soil, and then you plant your seed, and then it's watered, and it sprouts, and then it grows up, and the Bible goes through the whole story in there of some planted on rocky soil, and some planted in, you know, weeds, and some planted on really good soil, and it talks about how it grows. But I, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we know that the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night, and it says while they are saying, peace and safety, which is what a lot of, you know, that seems to be the greatest and biggest peace and safety cry out get from the powers that want to be today. It said sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But verse 4 says, but you, brothers and sisters, that's those plants that are coming up, are not in darkness, so that the day would overtake you like a thief. And that's what our job is, to help those brothers and sisters in Christ and those new sprouts and the ones that are there so that they're not unprepared, so that they're not
withering or anything else. It's just like watering a plant. When you're out here doing this, you're trying to, and consequently, you get watered too. I mean,
yes.
I think I can say without, for everybody, we all learn something new every day. You know, I mean, I'm still reading my Bible. I have no idea how many times I've been through it, but I'll tell you one thing, I learn something new every time I go through. Every time I open it, there's a new revelation. There's a new thought, something, you know, bears witness with me that it's like, oh, wow, yeah, I've never seen that before.
Absolutely.
You know? So when you look at those things, it doesn't return to him void, it says, and that's the real deal. That's the case. So whatever stage of development you're at, what you need is there. So.
Amen.
And that's when you're talking to an infantile Christian, is don't overwhelm them with all that you know. You know, you've got to answer their questions and help them what they need and help them grow. And that's our nature, is to shove the Bible down their throat. Well, this says that. Hey, well, I'm telling you what, you're talking Greek to 90% of the people out here. They don't know their Bible. They ain't got a clue what it says. And you start running those verses down their throat. It's like a sick calf. Learn to feed a little at a time. You can't give it on a full diet right away. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, many people should be teachers now. The Bible tells that, instead of still receiving the milk. And we haven't grown as a nation for the most part. We always want somebody else to do it. You know, Pastor Peter made it easy on us. You know, it was so easy. But now he's gone, so what do? We got to do it ourselves. So, and thankful we had a good teacher. So.
Amen. Yeah,
but he always directed us to the Bible. He was not he never claimed to be anything special. He just wanted us to grow. And we did.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know I sure learned sitting here listening to you men, and it, just like you said this morning, Tim, about that when you read that there in Micah. I know I've read that before. I know I've seen it. You know, the best of them are like a thorn bush, a thorn that produces no fruit. That's the best of them. And you know, it puts it in perspective. It gives you a new perspective that, you know, we produce fruit. That's what we do. And they can't. You know, there again, there's that differentiation, that difference. I didn't get that word right, but whatever it is, it is. And people are seeing that more and more. I think they are. Well, guys, we're running out of time. Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to come here and to encourage the remnant and to encourage me. It's greatly appreciated, and hope you guys have a blessed weekend.
You also.
And Remnant, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. At scriptures4america.org, we'll have a little scriptural review. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. I think we're doing pastors... Gifts of the Spirit, Fruits of the Spirit series? And I think we've got part two for that tomorrow. We'll have a live message for you after that and communion. And so we encourage you to join us. We invite you to join us. And you can do it right on, again, on your computer at our website, scriptures4america.org. As I said earlier, we are printing newsletter volume 6. And got it on the printer, and hopefully finish that up midweek. Yeah, keep that in prayers. We ask you. That's a pretty big endeavor, but the plan is to get that done and get that in the mail. Like I said, hopefully midweek, and for all of you that get the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And then we'll work on the online as well. And if you don't receive it and would like to, you contact us. We'll be glad to send it to you. And again, God bless. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving. Keep on moving over.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.